This is lesson S6, and the series we're starting today, this is the first lesson, is called The Healing Equation. And this is our first lesson in the series called Part 1.
Well, this is our sixth meeting, I have it, on our healing seminar we're having, a series on healing. Just by way of review, I'd like to start off tonight with just reviewing briefly a couple of things we talked about earlier, because it's going to play into what we talk about tonight. You remember back, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was, we talked about the healing ingredients. In fact, it was the title of our lesson that night. And we talked about the ingredients that it takes to be healed. Okay, we're talking about healing. We're talking about, if you're sick, how to get healed every time. God's Word is not ambiguous on this. You know, we don't rightly divide the Word all the time. We don't know all that's written in the Word. God understands that. But He's a God of faith. And if we're smart Christians, we'll learn a little bit about this healing thing so that when we are attacked, we know we have some ammunition that we can use. Let's just talk, first of all, a little bit about what the healing ingredients, what is necessary to be healed. We're talking now, of course, about divine healing, aren't we? We know there's medical healing. There's healing through the medical arts, and that's fine, and that's good, and we need that. But there's also divine healing, healing that comes straight from God. And that's what we're talking about in this seminar. So first of all, I'd like you to think a little bit about the power analogy that we had a couple of weeks ago. Remember this little circuit that I had drawn? We got that on your outline tonight. And I can't think almost of any better analogy than in the electrical analogy, because it's something you can't see. It's something that's there all the time. All you have to do is turn on the switch. And there's so many good analogies there that I'd just like to briefly review that before we get going tonight. First of all, in any electrical circuit, and by electrical circuit I mean something that when you flip a switch, a light goes on or something like that, you need a few different things. First of all, you need some power present, don't you?
Yes.
Well, folks, you need to know that since Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sickness almost 2,000 years ago, that power to heal is present all the time. It's just like the power in the wall at home, or just like the power in the battery in your car. That power is always available. If your car is sitting out in the driveway and you're not going anywhere right now and you're in the house, that power is still available in that car. Anytime you turn that switch, isn't it? It's waiting for you. And that's the way God's healing power is now that He's taken our infirmities and bore our sickness. Remember, 1 Peter 2:24 says that by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. And if we were healed, then we are healed, right? No matter what our body says. Okay, so that power of God's power, God's healing power, is always present to heal. We need to realize that. That's one thing that I didn't always know in my Christian walk, that it's always available. It's there all the time. Now, the second ingredient we need is faith. All right? And faith, we know, comes from knowing what God's will is concerning healing. And we know Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by what? The Word of God. Okay, so we need faith. So your faith is really like a switch. When you have faith, it's sort of like having a switch, but you got to still turn it on. All right, we'll see that tonight. We'll see some people in the Bible that had faith, but they hadn't turned it on yet, and nothing happened until they turned it on. All right, so you need the switch. Now, the action that matches the word that you're believing to get healed. In other words, what I mean by that is once you've prayed, you know, you don't go the next 10 minutes after you pray and say, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do about this sickness that's attacked me. You know, I mean, the action, the words that come out of our mouth need to match the Word of God that we're believing for. If the Word of God that we're believing is by Jesus' stripes, you were healed, then once we've prayed, the words that come out of our mouth and the actions and our behavior need to match that. If they don't, we didn't really believe, did we? Isn't that right? So the action, and we're going to talk about that in some detail because the Lord's really been dealing with me a little bit about that's a lot of times the missing ingredient. People are hearing the word, they know that by Jesus' stripes they were healed, but they're not acting on what they believe. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. Now the action is the thing that turns the switch on. The faith is the switch, but your action is what actually flips it on, all right? We're going to talk a little bit about patience, because once we turn the switch, even though it seems instantaneous, when we flip that switch in our house and the lights go on, there is some time that goes by from the time you flip that switch until that light actually goes on. Now, if you're 1 mile away, your light is turning on, the time it takes is 1/186,000th of a second for that light to travel, for that power to travel that far, because it travels at the speed of light. But nevertheless, it does take time. Now, when you're believing for healing, once you turn that switch of faith on through a corresponding action, it does take a little time. Sometimes it's virtually instantaneous. Other times, time goes by. And that's the key time, folks. What we do during the time, from the time that we've prayed until the time that the healing manifestation takes place in our body, is key to whether that healing manifestation ever will take place in our body, okay? So it's that action. And then the patience. Because the Word of God says it's by faith and patience that we inherit the promises. Hebrews 6:12. Now the other thing we'll talk a little bit about is fellowship with God. We need to have a heart that doesn't condemn us. And we'll read about that a little bit tonight. Because if our heart condemns us, then we don't have faith toward God. We don't have confidence in the things of God. It's not that God is mad. It's not that He's holding back. It's just that we can't generate the faith when we have broken fellowship with God. So those are the healing ingredients. We're going to talk about those tonight a little bit. First of all, I'd like you to open your Bibles to James chapter 2. Now, the name of tonight's lesson, I've chosen to call it the healing equation. It sort of fits, you'll see why. First of all, really, you know, being an engineer and all, I like equations, and I'm sure Ken does too. I mean, we cut our teeth on equations now, sometimes more than we wanted to. But an equation is something that if you put in the equation the proper things, what comes out the other side will be the result. You know, 2 plus 2 equals 4. That's an equation, right? 2 plus 3 doesn't equal 4. 2 plus 2 equals 4. And it's always going to equal 4. It's just like a chemical reaction the same way. If you put two things together, hydrogen and oxygen, and you add enough energy, you know, that turns into water with a little byproduct there. You know, that's always going to be the same way. Folks, we need to see this thing on healing, that it's always going to be the same way. God isn't a God that changes His mind from minute to moment. Okay? So, if we can just do what this little equation says, we'll be healed every time. We've got God's Word in there. Okay, what are the ingredients to the equation? It says, faith plus corresponding action plus patience equal the healing manifestation every time. All right, let's look at James chapter 2, and we'll get this first part of this equation. And we know that faith is important, and we know faith comes by hearing the Word, don't we? Because of Romans 10:17. Before I go on to this thing, let me just say this. There's no shortcut to faith. I mean, somewhere along the line, we're going to have to get in the Word of God if we're ever going to develop faith for the things that we need in this life. We can't just expect to wait until the crisis hits us and just sort of use our willpower to get faith. You know, I thought that at one time. I thought that if I just really tried to live a life of faith, just gritted my teeth, sort of like running a marathon or something, if I just didn't quit and I tried to live in faith, but what was the basis for my faith? You can't have faith in something you don't have any reason for believing in it. In other words, if you don't know what God's Word is on a situation, and that's why it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, if you don't know how God feels about something, you can't believe for that thing. If we didn't know that God wanted us healed every single time, that His will is always healing for every member of this world, really, He doesn't want anybody sick, we'd have no basis for faith. Just the very fact that God asks us to have faith tells us a little something about His will in healing. When He asks us to have faith for healing, folks, because we couldn't have faith for healing unless we knew His will. You know that? You understand that? We couldn't have faith for it. But thank God He said it's always His will to heal. Okay, so faith comes from hearing that. So, that's how we get the faith. Now, James chapter 2, verse 17. When I saw this the first time, it really helped me in a lot of areas. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead
being alone. What we don't want to have, folks, is dead faith. And the way we can keep from having dead faith is by having the corresponding actions, or as it calls it here in the King James Version, works that go along with our faith. Because that's how God decides whether we really believe or not. That's how I decide whether I can trust you. And that's how you decide whether you can trust me. Do I back up what I say with my actions? If I say I'm going to do something, do I do it? Okay? Now, you know, if we say that we're believing for healing, for example, and we pray, have you got faith, brother? Yes, I do. I believe. Jesus took my infirmities. He bore my sickness. And 10 minutes later, we're crying about the fact that we don't know what's going to happen to us. We got a bad report from the doctor. Did we have faith? Well, we might have had faith for a minute, but did we act on our faith? See, the actions can be words or behavior, really. Words are actions, aren't they? You know, what I believe, I will say. Isn't that true? We talked about that quite a bit in this course. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. Whatever we have down inside is going to come out. We may try to control it, but if we don't have healing in our heart, pretty soon, unbelief is going to come out of our mouth. And that's the dangerous thing. If we don't get that down in our heart, we can really mess this thing up. Because we may be standing for something and believing for something, and all of a sudden, we say something, or our actions don't match our faith. Okay, so it says here, faith without works or corresponding actions is dead, being alone. So in this equation, we don't want to have faith be alone. That's why we have faith plus action plus patience equal the healing manifestation. Okay, that's our equation. Seems rather simple, doesn't it? It's only got three things in it. That's all it takes. All you really need is faith that comes from hearing the word, the actions that match what you're believing for, and then patience until that healing is manifested in your body. And it will happen every time. Either that or God's a liar. One of the two. You know, I mean, I think we need to be that, I don't know, objective about the Word of God. Is it true or is it not true? If it's not true, let's get on with something else that is true. And let's leave it behind. I haven't got any time for anything that's not true. But you know what? It is true. But we need to spend time in it, don't we? If we don't spend time in it, our faith will be weak. We can't just wait until the crisis hits and then try to catch up. I mean, sometimes we can, but it's not easy. It's better in the good times to take the time to get in the Word of God and to get this faith down in your heart. All right, so there's the equation. Now, really, our job is to get that switch turned on. Isn't that our job when we want the lights to go on in our house, when we want the power, when our engine to start? The power is there all the time. God's power is always ready to heal. All right? What we got to do is figure out how we get that switch turned on right every time. Now, in praying about this week, I don't know, it just came to me, make a table out, take 5 different scenarios, get real plain about it, so that we all understand what we're talking about here, and we don't waltz around the issue, and let's just talk about 5 different scenarios, okay? And let's assume, for example, just to get real blunt about it, let's assume we got 5 different people here, and they've all been diagnosed with cancer, all right? That's our scenario tonight. Doesn't sound too pleasant, but hey, we're going to get this guy, one of these people going to get healed, all right? And we're going to find out how that person got healed. And we're going to find out some that didn't, that were really sweet people. All right? We got 5 scenarios here tonight. Each one of these 5 people have been diagnosed with cancer. Is everybody with me? All right. Now, we'll call case 1. Let's call this guy Fred, okay? Nobody here named Fred, right? So I'm not talking about anybody here. It's just an example. All right, Fred has been diagnosed with cancer. But poor old Fred, he hasn't really heard much of the Word of God. He never heard or meditated, or maybe his church never told him that by Jesus' stripes he was healed. That himself, the Lord Jesus, took his infirmities and bare his sickness. that Christ has redeemed him from the curse of the law. And in that curse he was redeemed from was every sickness and every disease, even those not written in the book of the law. Now, that's what the Word of God says about healing. But, you know, we have brothers and sisters in the body of Christ that have never heard this. Or if they've heard it a little bit, maybe someone's told them, that's not for today, that's not right, that's crazy. Okay, well, this guy, let's just say that he's a good guy, he loves the Lord, he's born again. All those things he's got going for him. And that's wonderful. When he dies, he's going to go to heaven. The thing is, we want to keep him alive as long as we can, don't we? He's diagnosed with cancer here. Well, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If he never hears that Jesus took his infirmities and bore his sickness, he's not going to be able to generate the first part of this equation, the faith. Because faith is only there when you know God's will. All right? So this poor guy, who's a good guy, he loves the Lord, he's born again, he hasn't heard that Jesus has already taken his infirmities, okay? Or, turn to Hebrews 4:2, here's another alternative. Or he has heard, but he didn't receive it. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. Now this is talking about the Israelites, but this fits in with anything that you're trying to believe for from God. It says, it's talking about the Israelites that wandered around 40 years in the wilderness. And verse 1 says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left for us of entering into his rest, any of us should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached just as it was unto them. Now listen to this. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. So we need to hear the Word of God, but we also need to receive it. Now, if you're sitting out there, or I'm sitting out there, and my church teaches that healing isn't for today, that Jesus didn't take my infirmities, and I hear a preacher say that by Jesus' stripes you were healed, if I've got it in my head that that's not the way it is, even though I heard it, faith won't come because I didn't mix any faith with, in other words, I didn't receive that which came. We understand that, don't we? From the parable of the sower, if nothing else. There was the same word went out to four different categories of people, and only one category of people received that deep in the midst of their heart. And the other three did something different with that word. So we not only need to hear the word, we need to receive the word. We need to open our heart and say, if God's word says it, it's true. All right? So somehow this guy, Fred, he didn't receive this word for whatever reason. All right? So what? If he didn't receive the word, he doesn't have what? No faith. So he doesn't have that first ingredient in that equation. He doesn't have any faith. Well, the action doesn't matter, right? The patience doesn't matter. If you don't have the faith, you're never going to get to that part. So typical reaction to this type of person is they'll go up for prayer, though, because everybody wants to be healed, don't they? But they can't go up with faith, and so really their attitude is more like, I hope God heals me. Because that's all they can have. I'm not down on Fred, but that's all you can expect old Fred to have. Because there is no faith. All he can do then is hope God will heal him. And folks, 99% of the time that won't do it. You know, you need that faith. I mean, if I'm diagnosed with something serious, I want to know I got my bases covered, okay? I don't want to be guessing, and by golly, and I want to know. And thank God, the Word of God gives this Word to us in a sense that we can know. You know you're saved, don't you? How do you know? You got the witness in your spirit. You believe the Word of God. Same way with healing. It's no more difficult. Well, it is a little bit, in one sense, in the sense that when you are born again and you believe for salvation, there isn't a hurting body that says it's not true. Okay? Now, in healing, you've got to deal with the body. And that's very difficult for people like sometimes that are used to living in the world where most of the time we go by what our five senses tell us. But see, God says, don't go always by those five senses, especially if it violates my word. All right? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we need to look to the things unseen rather than the things seen. Now, if you haven't been around a Christian movement for a while, that's going to sound kind of dumb. How can you look to something unseen? What God is saying, look to the thing in my word that it doesn't, maybe, that your senses don't tell you. When there's a
difference between what your senses are telling you and what the Word is telling you, God is saying, look to the unseen, because the unseen is eternal, where the thing you see is temporal, subject to change. Okay? And trouble is, a lot of Christians and people are looking to the seen. When their body hurts, they think, well, if I prayed and it still hurts, I'm not healed. All right?
So Fred here is in trouble. There's no power healing. There's no power flowing into his body because he can't get that switch on. But here, if you look in the right column of this table, in every case, the power is present to heal. God's power is available for healing. But Fred can't get that switch on because he doesn't know enough. Hosea 4:6 says what? It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So Fred, from a lack of knowledge, can't get his healing because he doesn't know or hasn't received that Jesus has taken his infirmities and bore his sickness. Does everyone understand why Fred's got a problem? Okay. So the reason we're bringing these things out is not to act like Fred. It's so that we can see these things clearly and see, you know, if there's been a time in our life when the healing hasn't come or something like that, let's get it fixed. Okay, does that make sense? You know, let's get it fixed. You know, we can't, you know, and we'll get down here pretty soon. You're going to find out that it isn't best to pray right away when you've been diagnosed with cancer. Don't rush right home and get the first person that you run into to pray with you. Get some things established first. Because this is a prayer, when you pray, you need to believe you're going to receive. This is a prayer you may have to stand on for a while. And you want to make sure you're ready to pray, all right? So when you first, you know, are diagnosed with this cancer, my advice to you is don't run right out and find somebody to pray with you. Unless you satisfy the steps that we talk about later. Because you know what's going to happen? You're going to fire off this real quick prayer, and then the first time the enemy hits you with some more symptoms or more pain, you weren't prepared, you weren't ready to stand, and you just were depending upon the other person's faith or something, and you're going to fall. I found it's much better in prayer is to get your ducks in a row. And we're going to talk about what those ducks are here. And then when you're ready, then pray, then stand. You're ready now to stand. Okay? If you're not ready to stand, don't pray. All right?
All right, so number two, we got a second guy here. Let's call him Guy.
All right, he's a guy called Guy. We got Fred, poor Fred, we couldn't get him healed. But Guy, let's see where he is. Let's say Guy's born again, but Guy has got a little bit of a problem. He and his wife got problems. He's in strife with his wife or somebody, I don't care who. He's a mad guy right now. He's maybe not always this way, but right now, he's not got things right with God, all right? He's in strife, all right? And he's diagnosed with cancer, okay? Now turn to 1 John chapter 1, and let's see what the Word of God has to say about this kind of thing. First of all, in chapter 1, if we read 1 John chapters 3 through 7, there's a word that's mentioned four times in there, and the word is fellowship. And in verse 6 it says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Sin breaks fellowship with God. Okay, we all know that, don't we? Didn't break relationship. God still loves us so much. He sent his son. He doesn't love us any less. But it broke fellowship. Sin will break fellowship with God. All right? But it's so easy to get clear of sin, isn't it, for Christians? All we got to do is what? Confess it. And he's faithful and just to cleanse us of our sin and all unrighteousness. Isn't that true? Now, just this is a kind of a side thought. You don't bounce in and bounce out of righteousness, okay? This word here in verse 9 that says cleanse us from all unrighteousness after we confess our sins is not the same root word for the righteousness we got when we got saved. He that knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Once you're made the righteousness of God in Christ, that doesn't change. When you sin, you're still righteous. That's unfortunate that King James translated this unrighteousness. Really, if you look it up, it means iniquity. He cleanses you from all iniquity. We need to know that as Christians, that every time we sin, we're not all of a sudden unrighteous. Okay? Just a side thought there. Now turn to chapter 3, and let's read, verse 21. Now listen to these words, because this is the Word of God, and this is how God feels about this. He says, Beloved, if our heart condemns us not,
then we have confidence toward God. Confidence toward God sounds like faith to me, doesn't it? You know that you and God are okay. You have fellowship. If our heart doesn't condemn us, then we have confidence with God. Verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, in this case we're asking for healing, we're praying for healing, we receive of him because, why? We keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Okay, let's read the other side of this thing. What it really is saying, beloved, if our heart does condemn us, then we don't have confidence toward God, right? Wouldn't that make sense? If you have confidence toward God, if your heart doesn't condemn you, then if your heart does condemn you, you're not going to have that confidence. Because why? You didn't keep his commandments. Probably you got out of a love walk, because that's the only commandment we have now, is to walk in love, isn't it? He says, beloved, I just leave you one commandment now. And they're all fulfilled in this one commandment, the commandment of love. All right, so it's saying right here, and we need to be plain about this, that if we sin, then we don't have such confidence toward God. Somehow our faith doesn't work. See, it isn't saying God doesn't love us. It isn't saying that God doesn't want to answer our prayer. It just says that we can't generate the first part of this equation, which is faith, because we just can't generate this confidence, this faith, when we're in sin. It's just faith and sin don't go together. You ever notice that? Did you ever notice when you read the Bible and you've got something between you and God, you have unconfessed, and it's like reading a dead book, where other times it's alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. But when that faith isn't there, when that faith isn't in your heart, when that fellowship is broken, then we don't have confidence toward God. Psalm 66:18 says this. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord does not hear my prayer. The Lord does not hear me. It isn't that he doesn't love me. It's just that without faith, God doesn't hear that prayer. Isn't that right? Faith is part of God. That's something that's the way God operates. You know, if we want to change it, we can't. We're just going to have to get in line with that, all right? So, sin kills faith. I could go a little further with this. Hebrews 3:8 basically says this, if you have a hardened heart, that seed, that word of God can't penetrate. I won't turn there right now. But in your own time, you look in there and it tells you that sin will harden your heart to the point at which that seed of the word of God that goes forth won't get in there like it will at other times. You read that for yourself. All right? And if that seed can't get in our heart, that faith won't grow. And that first part of the equation, we can't generate that faith. All right, now turn to 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, is healing according to his will? All right. Well, there's really two conditions according to his will. One is basically the content of what you're asking for. And that you take care of the content by the Word of God. Is it covered by the Word? And healing, thank God, is covered by the Word of God. All right? The second is to ask according to your will is the manner in which you ask. Are you asking in faith? You need the two things. You need to ask for something that is covered by the Word of God so that you can generate that faith, right? And healing is one of those things. Prosperity is another. Peace is another. All kinds of promises in the Word of God, exceeding great and precious promises. But you also means the manner in which you ask, which is to ask in faith. Obviously, if you ask for something that's covered by God's Word and you don't ask in faith, then you're not going to get it either, okay? So we need to ask according to his will. And if we do, he hears us. Now, verse 15 is very interesting. And it says this, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We got to know that he hears us, okay? We got to know that. And you can't know that unless you've got faith. See here, it's all coming back to the same thing. And you can't have faith with broken fellowship. With broken fellowship with the Lord, you're not going to know when you pray if he heard you. Psalm 66:18 said the same thing. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear my prayer. Now what it said? We didn't turn to it, maybe. I forget. I don't think we did. But it's there. Check it out, okay? So here's guy, he's born again, but he's in strife with his wife. He's in trouble. Turn to 1 Peter 3:7. 1 Peter 3:7. It says, likewise, you husbands, and of course this means wives too, but they got husbands down here, and maybe they're more prone to this. Likewise, you husband, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. Well, here's all. This is for the wife. Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. And listen to this last phrase, that your prayers be not hindered. See, this means, folks, that our prayers can be hindered if we've got strife in our life, right? We've seen this any number of ways. So, here's what I'm saying.
If you're diagnosed with something serious like cancer, before you pray, it takes some time just to get before God and yourself and see, does my heart condemn me in any way? This is important. Because, you know, we're wasting our times if we're praying and our heart condemns us in a certain way. And we don't want to waste our time, and we don't want to hang on this word and believing when we aren't really believing, okay? So we need to get these things established.
Broken fellowship will kill faith. And this type of person, typical reaction after their prayer is, I know God wants to heal me. They know enough word. They know that God wants to heal them. But somehow, they know that they haven't completed the equation. And if you look in their eyes, you can see it, usually. They're saying, by Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. But in their eyes, it says something different. We need to have the whole thing lined up, folks. And the only way to do that is to get that word down in our heart, be in fellowship with God. Now, there's no condemnation here. We all blow it sometimes. We all miss God. But the important thing is, when you do, get it cleared up right away.
Especially if we're in an area where we've been diagnosed with something serious. I mean, we need to get this cleared up. My wife told me, I think it was, that I haven't listened to this tape, but she was listening to Pastor Osteen's wife's tape, and Dodie. And the first thing she said in the tape was that God told her to do was to get some things cleared up with people before she prayed for healing. Makes sense to me.
It's based on the Word of God here. Now, there's a pastor's wife, a wonderful woman, but see, we all make mistakes once in a while. All right? So we need to get these things cleared up. Okay, so poor guy, he's born again, but he's in strife with his wife, and that prayer got hindered. And he knows God wants to heal him, but he can't get these switches not on. So there's no healing power working. You got to turn that switch on to get that healing power working in your body, right? The power's present, God's ready, but he can't get that switch on because he can't get the faith going because he's broken fellowship with God. Now, category 3. Here's a person that's born again, let's say baptized in the Holy Spirit, and loves to read the Word. Let's call her Sue. Let's personalize this a little bit, all right? She's born again, she's baptized in the Holy Spirit, and she loves to read the Word. All right? So she sounds like she's got everything going for her, doesn't it? We saw before that faith plus corresponding actions equals results, you know. Faith without works is dead, being alone. All right? Well, she's reading the Word, so she's probably got the faith. In fact, if you look in your little table here, it says, yes, she's got faith. Turn to Acts chapter 14. If you cheated and looked a little further, you see that her switch is still off, and we're going to find out why. Acts chapter 14. Don't worry, I'm not going to let you get out of here without getting that switch on tonight. So. Acts chapter 14, verse 8. Verse 7. Paul's preaching, and it says he was in Lystra preaching the gospel. Now, folks, healing is part and parcel of the gospel. Isn't that true? It says Jesus went about teaching and preaching and healing. The reason Jesus was able to heal was because they heard his teaching and preaching. You ever think of that? And faith came. All right? So he preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. Now it says he's a man, not a child. There's a man, a grown man, who's never walked in his entire life. He's been a cripple ever since he was born. And he's sitting there, and he's not walking, and he's not healed, right? There's no manifestation of healing. The same heard Paul speak. And Paul, steadfastly beholding this man and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, folks, think of this. That man was sitting out there. He had faith to be healed. All right? Had the manifestation come yet? No, it hadn't. You just kind of wonder if that man wouldn't have gone home unhealed, wheeled out of there, if Paul hadn't perceived that he had faith to be healed and made him act on that faith and get that switch on. You hear what I'm saying? This man was sitting there with faith. Now, this woman, Sue, we called her here, she loves to read the Word. This man's listening to the Word. He loves what he's hearing. In fact, faith has come. He's heard Paul preach the Word on healing. Must have been. He got faith. And this man received faith to be healed. But this man was still sitting there, and he'd still be sitting there today if he hadn't acted on that faith. And that's why the Holy Spirit says, "Paul, get that man to do something. Get that man to stand up. Tell that man to act on that faith. That faith is there right now." Paul perceived that he had faith. How did Paul perceive that? The Holy Spirit. How else? Paul is just like you and I. Unless the Holy Spirit does something, he doesn't have these abilities resident within him. He doesn't look at his faith and say, "He looks like he's getting this." No, the Holy Spirit says, "Paul, this man has faith to be healed, and he needs to act on that faith." And Paul said, "Stand upright on thy feet." Now, if that man hadn't stand up, what do you think would have happened? If he hadn't made the attempt? If he had just sat there and said, "Stand upright on my feet," you've got to be kidding. You can see I'm here. You can see I was carried in here. You can see my withered feet. If you've heard anybody talk about me, you know I haven't walked in my entire life. Get a life, Paul. You know? I mean, that could have been a possible reaction. And there may have been those reactions to Paul's preaching in other places. I don't know. But thank God the Holy Spirit brings things that help us. And in this particular case, Paul, the Holy Spirit helped him, and he says, "Stand upright on thy feet." The man made the attempt. Do you think that man had that strength at his feet before he tried? I don't think so. Because faith plus corresponding actions equals results. That man tried. He says, "Oh, I'm doing whatever I can." And as he began to make an effort, the Holy Spirit power surged into him. He got that switch turned to on. And that power rushed into his body that was present all the time, folks. That power is there all the time. That man had faith. That switch was there trembling, but it wasn't on yet. It was still off. The faith was there. And the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, gave a word of knowledge to Paul and said, "Tell that man to stand upright on his feet." When that man began to stand, that man shoved that switch to on, and he was healed ever since. You see? Okay. There's another case, and I'll just quote it because, well, real quickly, if you recall the man who had palsy and they tore up the roof to get him in there, it says Jesus saw their faith. That man wasn't off that cot yet, folks. He was still laying there. He saw their faith. That faith was there. And Jesus said, "Get up off that couch and go home and take your cot with you." And when that man made an effort to get off that cot, the strength flowed into his body, and he got, folks, we need to understand how this works. We need to act on our faith. We need to get that faith down in there. And if no one comes up with a word of knowledge and says, "Get up," we need to do it on our own. We need to just get off and start doing something, whatever it might be. Okay, now I need to get to number four here. Get somebody here that's going to get healed, okay? But I only bring these up to show examples of what can hinder us. Now here's a woman called Mary, we'll call her. She's born again. She's baptized in the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter if she's baptized in the Holy Spirit. But she's a doer of the Word. All right? And this woman shuts out contrary evidence when she hears it. All right? So she hears the Word of God. And she acts on it. Now, I don't have time to go through all these scriptures, so let me just kind of quote some of them. She heard the Word of God. She believes it. She receives it. And she prays. Okay, her attitude is, after she prayed, now the last person I didn't say, Sue, she says, "I just know God will heal me." That was the last person. Always in the future. See, when you aren't acting on the Word, your healing is always in the future. And see, that won't get it.
We need to understand, yes, the manifestation isn't here yet, but
as far as we're concerned, the healing is taking place in my body and I'm recovering, and that's the end of the problem as far as I'm concerned, okay? But see, the last person thought, I believe in the future God will heal me. Folks, we're already healed. By Jesus' stripes, we were healed. We need to get that settled down in our body. The manifestation may not be in our body, but down in our spirits there's healing, if we'll believe that and act on it. And that healing that's true in the spirit realm will eventually manifest in our body if we don't cast away our confidence.
So here's Mary. She believes the word of God. She says, you know, she prayed, and when she prayed, she did like Mark 11:24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you shall have them. Sounds like paradox almost. Believe you receive when you pray, and then later you shall have them. What this is talking about is believe you receive when you pray that is taken care of in the spirit realm, that everything is working, you don't have to give it any more thought, and then it shall occur in the natural realm, okay? Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe then. You know, we've heard this a million times, haven't we? But you need to hear it over and over and over until we know what it's saying and act on it. Okay, she heard that. So when she got prayed for, she said, that's it, I got it. This is it, it's settled. For as I'm concerned, it's settled. I'm healed as of right now. She has it. As far as she's concerned, it's settled. Why? How can you do that, though? How in the world can you go to the doctor and have him say, I hate to tell you this, but you've got cancer. You know, we're going to work with you and we're going to give you chemotherapy and you need to do all that stuff. But boy, I'm telling you, you need more than that. You need to get these things settled in your heart. And she heard this and she just said, that's it, I've received it. Hands were laid on her, or she prayed on her own, however she did it. Call for the elders of the church. All those things require faith, if you look at the Bible, though. All those things. Call for the elders of the church, you know, and the prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, she'll save the sick, okay? Okay, so we need the faith. But however she did it, hands laid on her, at that moment, when that hand was laid on her, or she laid her hands on herself, or she prayed, at that moment, she believed, she received, and that is it. Now, that's the way we got to be about this, folks. That's why I'm saying earlier, don't pray right away. Because so many times we can't pray this way right away. We have to get this settled in our hearts. Because once you pray, you have to stand. And if you stand, that manifestation has to come, or God's the biggest liar that ever lived. One of the two. We need to get it settled that way. You know, we just don't need to rush home and say, oh, pray with me, pray with me. I just went to the doctor. Oh, it's horrible. He said, pray. Don't pray then. That is not the time to pray. There is a time to pray. And prayer is wonderful. And have hands laid on you. But be sure that you know where you are when you pray. Folks, I can't say it any clearer than that. You need to understand these things. Because I'll tell you why. It'll hurt our faith if we don't understand these things. We'll rush home, we'll pray, nothing will happen, and somebody dies, and everybody goes, wow, what happened? They were a nice person, they really believed God, and look what happened. Folks, you know, we need to get these things really down inside. God loves us, but He's not playing games. He can only move when there's faith. Now, we will talk later about there are occasions when God can move when there is no faith. But folks, for mature believers, it's pretty rare for gifts of healings to be manifested. For unbelievers, for people in foreign lands that are in the mission field and stuff like that, those things are primarily for signs and wonders showing God is alive and well and He's here and He'll save you because they see these healings. And it works occasionally as the Spirit wills in a body of believers. It's not that the Spirit doesn't will always to heal. I said that last week. It's just He doesn't always choose to heal by that method at this moment. He expects believers that have been around a while that have heard these things to act on the Word of God. So she's heard this promise. I'm kind of cover a lot of scriptures here together. Maybe I'll just continue this next week. But Mary gets healed, okay?
Yes.
She's in good shape. Why? Because she continues to act on this even after she prays. And folks, that's where
the rubber meets the road. it's sometimes easy to get worked up and get everything, and you read a good book or you read something spiritual, you heard a good tape, or pastor just laid his hands on you and that felt good, or the oil was running down your forehead when you prayed. But tomorrow and the next day and the next day, that confession has to be consistent. Because as soon as that confession doesn't match that faith when you prayed, what happens? Click. There goes that switch again. Now, let me just end with this one thing. This will help your faith. When you pray and you're ready for prayer, as soon as hands are laid upon you, or as soon as if you pray by yourself, it doesn't really matter. As soon as you pray, listen, that healing starts right then in your body. Right then in your spirit, I should say. All right? So you are recovering from that point on. The Word of God says in Mark 16:18, if we're as believers lay hands on the sick, they shall recover if they don't switch it back off. So as soon as hands are laid on you, folks, that healing process starts right then. Only you, when it starts, can turn it back off. Isn't that interesting? God's not going to turn it off. He wants you healed. And when you believe, when those hands are laid on you, that healing process starts at that instant. See, that's where we miss it sometimes. We think the healing process starts when we feel like it's starting. And we're always looking for that feeling, and because that feeling doesn't come, see, the feeling's never going to come before the fact. The feeling will come after you've really believed, okay? And so when you decide to stand, and that's it, that healing starts that instant in you. And unless you change it, it will continue until the manifestation comes. Isn't that good to know? Unless you change it. Now, we'll finish this next week.
Let's go over the homework now. First question. The five healing ingredients are blank, 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 and blank. What goes in those blanks? Okay, well, just by going over our outline, if you study that, you can see that the five healing ingredients are God's power, goes in the first blank, faith for healing, goes in the second blank, corresponding action is the third ingredient, fellowship with God is the fourth ingredient, and patience is the fifth ingredient. And you can get that right from the outline. So those are the five healing ingredients in our lesson. Next question, true or false? Faith is similar to a battery or to the electric power in your home. From our lesson, is that true or false? Well, that's false. Remember, faith wasn't like the battery or the electric power in your home. What was, though? God's healing power is the thing that's like a battery or the electric power in your home. So faith is part of our healing equation, but in this particular case, it's God's healing power is the similar to the battery. So that would be false the way it's written. Next question. Faith comes from knowing blank blank and is like a blank in that it must be activated to work. What goes in those blanks? Okay, well, from our lesson, faith comes from knowing what? God's will. And is like a switch in that it must be activated to work. You remember the little electric diagram I drew on the outline? We had a switch, we had a battery, and we had the person receiving the healing. And we learned that the switch can be on, but if there's no power, if there's no power from God, there's no healing, is there? So you can have your switch on, but if God's power isn't available, there won't be any healing. Or the power could be present, but if the switch is off, there won't be any healing either. So both have to be present. God's power has to be present, and the switch of faith has to be turned on. But remember, ever since Jesus went to the cross and was raised from the dead, by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. So that healing power for today is always on. It's always present. So God has done his part. All that remains is for us to turn on that switch. And we'll talk about how you do that later in this homework. Back in the next question. What turns the switch of faith on? And you're supposed to write in the blank what that is. Well, if you study the lesson and listen to the teaching, you would know that the thing that turns the switch of faith on is acting on our faith. We have to have faith. That's the switch. But the thing that turns the switch on is our acting on our faith. Next question. When I sin, it breaks my blank with God, because broken blank kills faith. What goes in that blank? Well, it turns out the same word goes in both blanks. When I sin, it breaks my fellowship with God, because broken fellowship kills faith. A lot of people don't know that, but when we sin, it's not that God pulls away from us. It's that we pull away from God. And it tells us in 1 John 3:21, and I'll just read it here. It says, "Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God." So when we're in fellowship with God and our heart does not condemn us, then we have confidence or faith toward God. But when our heart does condemn us, then we know that we don't have this confidence or faith toward God. So broken fellowship can affect our faith. And so it's not God pulling away from us, it's us pulling away from God. And there's something about broken fellowship that just kills faith. Psalm 66:18 is another verse. It said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart," that is, if I know I've sinned, "the Lord will not hear my prayer." Why won't he hear it? Is he just mad at us? No, it's because we don't have any faith in our prayer. Remember, we don't have that faith, then God doesn't hear the prayer. Another scripture that is along this line is 1 John 5:13 and 14, where it says that, and this is the confidence that we have toward God, verse 14, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, see, when we have broken fellowship, it's not according to his will, and he doesn't hear us. And then the next verse, verse 15, says, "And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him." So we can't know he hears us if when we have this broken fellowship, because our faith is just not there. Okay, I think that, before I go on, I just thought of another scripture. Galatians 5:6 says, "Faith worketh by love." So when we're walking in love toward God and our fellow man, faith works. So there's another scripture that talks about this. Next question. How do we restore broken blank with God? Well, we know what goes in there. How do we restore broken fellowship with God? What do we do when we have broken fellowship with God? Well, the Word of God tells us in the same book in the Bible, 1 John, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what do we do when we have broken fellowship? It's real easy. All we do is confess our sin. And when we do that, our fellowship with God is restored, and we have perfect peace and access by faith into anything we need from God. So it's very simple. Just confess your sin to God when we have broken fellowship. Now, some people think that when they sin, they break relationship with God. In other words, oh, he's no longer our Father. And until we get this straightened out, if we don't get it straightened out before we die, we'll go to hell. I've heard even Christians say this, and this is not true. We don't break relationship with God when we sin. We only break fellowship. He's always our Father. He always loves us. He's always there for us. So don't ever let anyone tell you that when you sin, that you've broken your relationship with God. You haven't. You've only broken fellowship. Next question. True or false? Usually healings are instantaneous. And I gave you a hint, Mark 16:18. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. Usually healings are not instantaneous. Usually your body doesn't know immediately after you prayed that you're healed. It's not immediately evident to your body, so that's false. And I gave you a hint, Mark 16:18. What does Mark 16:18 say? It says, "They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." You see that "shall recover" in there? It implies that there might be a time period between the time we pray and the time that the healing is actually manifested in our bodies. I've done a fairly in-depth word study on the word "shall recover." There are two Greek words, kalos and echo there, shall recover, like the word echo, E-C-H-O in the Greek. And it means to begin to amend, Strong says. That means when you lay hands on the sick, they will begin to amend. They shall have the means of recovery imparted to them, another person who's analyzed this verse says. So you could say the verse this way. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall begin to amend. They shall have the means of recovery imparted to them. That simply means that when you lay hands on the sick in faith, that their body at that very instant receives something into it that you can't yet feel, the power of God, that begins to cause a change in their medical situation. Now, so many times we give up on that because we don't feel anything right away. But if that thing is left to work and we continue to act upon our faith, it will continue until it's fully manifested. So, true or false? Are healings instantaneous? Will the body? No, that's false. The body doesn't know about it right away. True or false? My spirit can know I'm healed before my soul and body know I'm healed. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. When hands are laid upon you or when prayer is made, if you pray for yourself or someone else prays for you, the healing power is released into your body at that moment. And your spirit can know that because this is a spiritual thing. When we lay hands on the sick, it takes place first in our spirit. That's where faith first comes when we hear the healing word. Faith comes in our spirit. The healing begins in our spirit. And if we don't stop it, it will continue in our spirit and in our body on a level we can't initially detect until finally the healing is then completed and manifested in our body. So it's true that your spirit can know you're healed before your spirit, your soul, and body know you're healed. As a matter of fact, that really ties into faith, or your spirit. Faith is of the spirit, and you can know in your spirit that it's all taken care of before you see any evidence of it in your soul or body. Next question. True or false? Faith for healing is necessary before I pray, while I pray, and after I pray, and until my body knows I'm healed. Is that true or false? That's true. Faith is necessary before we pray, while we pray, and after we pray. We need to hold fast in faith during the entire time. First, we have to have faith before we pray. Then, while we pray, because Mark 11:24, remember it says, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and then you shall have them. So we need it when we pray as well. And then we need it after we pray. That's when we act on our faith. And until your body knows you're healed. And that's when the healing manifestation comes. That's why, folks, we need to prepare ourselves to pray. We need to get ourselves ready to pray. So many times we pray too quickly before the faith is there. And then we don't have any faith before we pray, while we pray, or after we pray. Because it was never there in the first place. And so it's necessary for us to get this faith in our spirits before we pray. And that can take some time, and that's what these lessons really are all about. So that when you pray, there's no doubt. You know what God's will is. You know what He's going to do. And then you just pray, believe you receive, and then you can rest in that promise, knowing that that healing is taking place in your body, even on a level that you may not be able to detect it, but it's taking place, and you can just stand in faith and peace until that healing is manifested in your body. Next question, true or false? The manifestation of my healing is when my body finally knows I'm healed. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. That's what we were just saying. That's what the manifestation is. The manifestation is when your body finally feels it, when the symptoms go away that were saying that you were not healed, when your body finally receives the manifestation of that healing that you knew all the time was true in your spirit. But if you don't know all the time it's true in your spirit, you won't see the manifestation in your body. So I think that's clear now. Next question. After I've prayed for my healing, I need to have blank until the healing manifests. Because Hebrews 6:12 tells me it's by blank and blank that I inherit the promises of God. And remember that one of the promises of God is healing. So what goes in those blanks? Okay, here we go. After I've prayed for my healing, I need to have what? Patience. Actually, faith would work in this blank too. So if you had either faith or patience in this first blank, that works. So after I've prayed for my healing, I need to have patience or faith until the healing manifests. Because Hebrews 6:12 tells me it's by faith and patience that I inherit the promises of God, of which healing is one of the promises. You know, this tells us a little bit about Mark 16:18 again. If healing is always occurred instantly, patience wouldn't be necessary, would it? But God says it is. And so, therefore, the healing process starts when we pray, but the healing is not manifested instantly. Therefore, patience is necessary until the healing fully manifests in our body. True or false? Next question. Healing for my body is a promise of God. Is that true or false? Well, that's true. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people say, well, I'm not sure what God wants to do. Healing for my body might be a promise of God this time, or it might not. You just don't know what God might do. But folks, healing for your body is always a promise for God. How do we know this? Well, how about looking to the Bible? The Bible says that by Jesus' stripes we were healed. So there, Jesus, in the atonement, took our sicknesses and diseases. Matthew 8:17 says that himself bore our sickness and took our diseases. So Matthew 8:17 said himself took our infirmities and bore our diseases. 1 Peter 2:24 says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, it says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And if we go back and look what that curse was, one of the curses was every sickness and every disease, even those not written in the book of the law. So we see that healing for your body is a promise of God. Now, God then has provided for your healing. Does that mean that every time you get sick, you're going to get healed? No. You can have a promise of God, but if we don't act upon that promise, it may never come true for us. And so there's a part that we play as well. But nevertheless, healing for your body is a promise of God for you if you will act upon that promise in faith. Next question. James 2:17 essentially says that our faith is blank without corresponding blank. What goes in those two blanks? James 2:17 essentially says that our faith is dead without corresponding action. So dead in action goes in those blanks. Isn't that interesting? We can have faith, good faith, but it's dead without corresponding action. It says faith without action is dead, being alone. That's what James 2:17 says. In other words, faith by itself alone is not enough. Faith is necessary, but it's not a sufficient condition for our healing. Our faith is dead and alone without corresponding action. So many people think that if they just could get faith, they'd be fine. But that's necessary, and that's absolutely something we want. But without the action, it's not enough. And then I have IE, faith plus nothing equals blank. What would go in there in that little equation? Faith plus nothing equals faith alone. And remember, James 2:17 says, our faith is dead if it's alone. We need something more, and that something more is action, acting on our faith. Write the healing equation. Well, on your outline, I had that written down, and all you had to do, really, is rewrite it here. What goes in the healing equation? I'll read it to you. The healing equation is faith plus corresponding action plus patience equals healing manifestation every single time. Now, if we don't get healed, somewhere in that equation, we have something isn't right. And this is something we need to have continuous until our healing is manifested. We need to have faith, that's part of the healing equation, continuous until a healing is manifested in our body. We need to have corresponding action continuously until the manifestation occurs in our body. We need to have patience continuously until a healing is manifested in our body. So by corresponding action continuously, that means all day long I got to sit around and say, I know I'm healed, I know I'm healed, I know I'm healed. No. That means that every time an incident comes up during that time, for you to say or act on that faith, or somebody quizzes you about how you feel or what's happening in your since you went to the doctor, be careful that your corresponding action is in line with what God's Word has to say about and where your faith is regarding this healing. So that's what we mean by continuous. The healing equation then is faith plus corresponding action plus patience equals the healing manifestation in your body. And we need to have the faith, the action, and the patience during all the time that healing process is working in our body until it's fully manifested. Next question. Once we get the switch of blank turned blank, we must keep it blank. What goes in those blanks? Well, that's pretty simple, isn't it? Once we get the switch of faith turned on, we must keep it on. And in that simple little statement, there's a lot. A lot of times, people get the switch of faith turned on, and then they turn it off. Why? How could you turn it off? Well, by not having corresponding action. When a chance comes to operate, act on your faith, you maybe make a negative confession instead of a positive confession, and then that switch gets turned back off. Or maybe your patience gives out, and you just say, I guess I'm never going to get healed. And then you turn that switch faith back off. How do we get it back on again? Well, just go back and repent of what you said about that situation, or repent of your lack of patience and say, Father, that healing power is still working in my body. I believe that. I'm just going to act on it, and I'm going to be patient until that healing manifestation comes to pass, because by Jesus' stripes I was healed. And if that has to come to pass because your word says that I'm healed, and I'm getting back on faith right now. And you can turn that switch right back on again. Now, in our lesson, we had five different people who had different situations that all had cancer, and they acted different ways. And we described that in the lesson. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions about that. In our case, with the five people diagnosed with cancer, the blank of God was present to heal blank of them. What goes in that blank? What was common in every single case of those five different people that were diagnosed with cancer? Well, let's read it with the blanks filled in. In our case, with the five people diagnosed with cancer, the power of God was present to heal all of them. So that was the common factor. God's power was present to heal every single one of them. Did they all get healed? No, they didn't. But that wasn't God's fault, was it? You know, that reminds me of that part in the Bible where the paralytic was being carried by the four men, and they went to see Jesus, and Jesus was, it said, the power of God was present to heal them. And there was a lot of Pharisees and scribes gathered around in this house, and of course they took the best positions, nobody else could get in, and they were gathered around Jesus, and the Word of God tells us the power of God was present to heal them. Then this man comes along on the cot. They couldn't get in because of the crowd around the house where Jesus was teaching and healing, or he hadn't healed yet, even though the power was there. It doesn't tell us anything about a healing yet. And they went up on the rooftop and tore the roof up and lowered him down before Jesus. And Jesus said to the man, when he said he saw their faith, he said to the man, son, thy sins are forgiven. Go in peace. You know, and then, he just said, son, thy sins are forgiven. And then the Pharisees and the scribes got all upset and says, who is this guy who thinks he has the power to forgive sins? You see the attitude they had. They didn't really have an attitude to receive anything for Jesus. They were looking for something to trip him up. And then he says, so that you might know, he spoke to the Pharisees, so that you might know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man on the cot, take up thy bed and go home. And the man instantly rose up, picked up his cot, and went home. Well, it says, though, that the power of God was present to heal them, not just him. And he wasn't even there yet when he said the power of God was present to heal them. So that means there was a lot of people else that could have gotten healed there, and it said there was a multitudes in the house, so that you know there was enough people that there's probably somebody else that could use some healing. And even though the power of God was present to heal anyone there, only one got healed. Why? Because one acted on their faith. In other words, he had his friends carrying him up on the roof, lowering him down through the place to get to Jesus. And Jesus saw their faith. Did he have corresponding action? Yes, he did, didn't he? But the other people didn't get healed because all they were looking for was to trip up Jesus, to see that he'd done something wrong, that he'd forgiven sins. What only God could do that. And so their attitude kind of let them out. They didn't get anything from God, from Jesus. And so that's it's a good lesson about acting on our faith. So in our case, the five people diagnosed with cancer, the power of God was present to heal all, just as they were here. But in our example, only one got healed. Now, I'll name some of these people like I did in the lesson. Fred's main problem was that he never did blank the healing word, so no blank was possible. What goes in those blanks? Fred's main problem was he never did hear the healing word, so no faith was possible. Why is that true? Because the Word of God tells us in Romans 10:17 that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't hear the Word of God on healing, it's impossible to have faith for healing. And since faith is part of our healing equation, it shows you just how important hearing the Word of God on healing is, because you can't get healed by faith without it. So Fred's main problem was that he never did hear the healing word, so no faith was possible. Now, before I leave this subject, let me just say that on occasion, through the gifts of the Spirit, people can be healed with no faith. But this is as the Spirit wills, and it's not usually something that believers receive. It's usually something that a baby Christian or someone who's never even received Jesus as Savior receives. And I don't want to confuse you about this now, but I just want to put at rest anybody who's sitting out there listening to this says, well, I know a person that got healed and they didn't have any faith. Well, that does happen occasionally. But remember, we're talking about the healing equation, a way you can get healed every single time if you'll apply these principles. So we're talking about, we're not talking about the gifts of healing here. We're talking about being healed by faith. And Fred's main problem was he never did hear the healing word. So no faith was possible. So first thing you need if you want to get healed is to know what God's word has to say about healing so that you can have some faith and complete the first part of the healing equation. Next question, true or false? Therefore, he couldn't know if God wanted to heal him or not. True or false? Well, that's true. He couldn't know. He doesn't. How can you have faith if you have no idea whether God wants to heal you or has healed you or not? You can't. So that eliminates a lot of people right there by being healed by faith, and they don't even know it. They don't know what God's word says. Next question. Therefore, he was what? Blank of God's will. He was ignorant of God's will because he didn't know what the word of God says. And that can happen. You know, if we're in a church or something like that, which they preach that you don't know if God wants to heal or not, or healing's not for today, you're not going to be able to have this kind of faith. You need to get in that Bible and find out for yourself, if you need healing, what God's Word has to say about it. And that's where I'm trying to help you here, to show you what God's Word does have to say, so that you can generate that faith for healing. Next question. True or false? According to Hosea 4:6, ignorance is bliss. Well, have you all heard the saying, ignorance is bliss? What you don't know can't hurt you. That's just another way of saying ignorance is bliss. Well, that's not what Hosea 4:6 says, is it? So that's false. Hosea 4:6 says what? It says, well, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So is ignorance bliss? Does what we know, don't know, can't hurt us? No. That just says just the opposite, doesn't it? It says here that his people are destroyed. You can be destroyed by being ignorant. You can die of a disease if you don't know that God's word says that by Jesus' stripes ye were healed. So ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance leads to destruction. Ignorance of God's word leads to destruction. In fact, I'm thinking about 1 Peter 5:8, which says that the enemy goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. The ones that he can most easily devour are the ones who don't know, that haven't heard, that are ignorant of what God's word has to say about healing. And those are the ones that he'll try to make sick. But what does it say before this verse starts? It says, be sober, be vigilant. How do you be vigilant and sober? Find out what God's Word has to say about healing. Be sober, be vigilant, for the enemy goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't let yourself be one of those who can be devoured. Find out what God's Word says about healing. And then you won't be able to be devoured by sickness and disease. So ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt you. So that's false. Now, remember, we had another guy that was named Guy in our example. Guy's main problem was a lack of faith due to blank, blank with God. What goes in those blanks? Well, if you go back and study our outline, Guy's main problem was a lack of faith due to broken fellowship with God. Remember, we read earlier about 1 John 3:21. It says, if our heart condemns us not, then we have confidence toward God. But if our heart does condemn us, and we know we've sinned, then we don't have confidence toward God, and our faith will be weak. So Guy's main problem was a lack of faith due to broken fellowship with God. Next question. True or false? God did not love Guy anymore until he confessed his sin. This is why God wouldn't heal Guy. Is that true or false? That's false. God still loved Guy even while he was in sin. Why Guy didn't get healed wasn't because God wouldn't heal him. Because God, remember, by Jesus' stripes, he is healed as far as God's concerned. But this takes faith to appropriate that blessing. And so Guy couldn't do it because he had broken fellowship. His faith was weak. And so the reason he wasn't healed wasn't because God didn't love him. No, it's because Guy wasn't acting upon the promises of God because his faith was weak from broken fellowship. So how do we get our fellowship restored? What have we learned? Well, remember earlier in the lesson, it says, how we restore broken fellowship? If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin every single time. So, folks, there's no reason to walk around with broken fellowship with God. You just need to confess it, and you're instantly cleansed, and God forgets all about it. Next question. Sue's main problem was a failure to blank upon the Word, and this prevented her from completing the blank equation. What goes in there? Sue's main problem was a failure to act upon the Word, and this prevented her from completing the healing equation. See, Sue knew the Word, but she just didn't act upon it, and therefore she didn't receive her healing either. So there's another area that prevents people from getting healed. And our last question, true or false, the switch of faith for Fred, Guy, and Sue was never turned on. Therefore, they were not healed. True or false? That's true. Neither one of those three ever got the switch of faith turned on. And that's why they weren't healed. Remember, Fred had no faith since he'd never heard the healing word. Guy had no faith because of sin. His faith was weak. Remember it says, you know, if our heart condemns us, then we don't have confidence toward God. And Sue didn't act on her faith. So neither one of these had the switch of faith turned on. And in the next lesson, we're going to go over two more people, our other two people, and we'll talk about them. But right now, I think we have enough here that you can see from this lesson that there is a healing equation, and there is a part, a very important part, that we play in this healing equation, and that is three main ingredients, faith plus corresponding action plus patience. Those are the three things we need to do in the healing equation. Yes, God's power is part of the healing equation. But God's already provided that. And fellowship with God is important in the healing equation, but that's up to us to keep it in fellowship with Him. But assuming our fellowship with God is intact, and since God's power is always available, the three parts that we need to deal with are faith, action, and patience. And that then completes our homework for lesson S6.